ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. And we're continuing today with our new series of state spotlights, looking at what's happening throughout the Federation, because what happens in the Federation really empowers ACEC National to accomplish its mission in Washington. And some of the best ideas, as they say, you know, going into, you've heard this politically, don't come from Washington all the time. They come from the states. And they bubble up, and then all of a sudden you see something happening, and then, you know, all of a sudden you get success because it originated at the ground level. And today we're focusing in on ACEC Indiana, and we're very, very pleased to be joined by both the past and current presidents of ACEC Indiana, Cash Canfield and Michael Rowe. And what we're talking about today is kind of it goes into strategic partnerships. It goes into strategic planning. And it's something which I think stands out and could be very beneficial for other member organizations listening to this program. So, Cash, let's start out. You know, let's set the frame here. You know, what were you trying to set out to do, and how did it develop?
Well, we were given a tremendous opportunity by the Indiana Department of Transportation to rebuild relationships and trust with both consultants and our contractor partners. So back in 2018, NDOT was going about preparing a new strategic plan, and they reached out to ACEC Indiana and the Indiana Constructors Group to identify opportunities to collectively improve how we all serve the citizens of Indiana, to address challenges between the three parties and how to make things better. So they went about and held a series of interviews and created basically a 360-degree feedback collaboration study. So an independent party interviewed staff from NDOT, ACEC, and the contractors to identify what our struggles were. And then NDOT kind of rolled this thing out to the industry, and they identified some quick wins, some medium-term and longer-term solutions to the problems that were identified. And kind of the three biggest problems focused around one was a lack of trust. The relationships between those three parties had really fallen apart, and that was because there really was no personal interaction occurring. A second item was a lack of a partnering process. The parties weren't focused on developing win-win solutions to problems during construction. And then a third item was lack of constructability to design reviews. So the contractors were complaining a lot about the quality of the design plans, but yet as designers, we weren't getting any feedback from NDOT or the contractors on how we could make our plans better.
I really find this interesting because I've had experience doing strategic planning in a previous lifetime when I was with a PR firm, and I've done some work like this where you go out and you talk to people independently as a dispassionate third party or you start discovering things that you never knew existed, or you start discovering gaps or thoughts or the way that people are perceived. And that can be really illuminating when you're actually looking at improving your operations or trying to figure out where do I fit or how do we need the change. It sounds like there were a couple of very, very clear takeaways here. I mean, Mike, What really stood out to you? What was the most illuminating thing that really came out of this planning process?
I think the onset of it was pretty spectacular from the standpoint that NDOT recognized that they were kind of with a three-legged stool, that all three parties were necessary in order to be successful. And so when they went about doing the survey with everybody, they weren't just looking for like Cash and I and us to give our opinions where we're a little bit more seasoned. They were looking for a good, complete cross-section of the people who were doing the work, that were communicating, that were delivering it. And so it really got a very holistic view of what was going on. And the truth of the trust, the very first one, that there was a little bit more animosity and a lot of finger pointing, really demonstrated that there was a huge breakdown in communication. And that relationship that Cash was mentioning, I mean, that was really the crutch of it, is that we didn't know each other anymore. And that whether it was via emails or through phone calls, there wasn't much face-to-face where people had a personal connection with with their counterparts that they were working with. So that's what really stood out.
And how was that received by the DOT people? I mean, in each party, I mean, what was the general realization of going, wow, okay, we do have a communication problem. There is an erosion of trust here that we didn't realize was actually apparent. I mean, was there an openness to hear this and to kind of accept it and treat it as a point of a problem that needed a solution, or was it something that was like, oh, well, I don't believe it?
NDOT embraced it. They completely embraced it as a problem that they needed to solve, because kind of at the same time in Indiana, we were fortunate enough to get our gas tax increased. Mm-hmm. So the program for construction actually doubled in size. So NDOT knew they had a problem because they've got a program that's twice as big to deliver and all their partners aren't getting along.
Yeah.
So one thing that the commissioner did was he called a meeting of all the CEOs from all the contractors and all the consulting firms and his executive staff into a meeting and basically delivered the message that, hey, we've got to deliver this program for the taxpayers and we got to deliver it fast. I need all of you working together to deliver this program. And they created what they called the Indiana Transportation Team. And at that end of the meeting, the commissioner presented a charter. Mm-hmm. And all of the CEOs from all of the parties signed the charter that they would work together in a cooperative, collaborative manner, have open and honest communication, to rebuild trust, to strive for the safest, highest quality, best maintained transportation network in the country on behalf of all Hoosiers.
Yeah. And that's important because that just touched on each of the identified weak points that this discovery process actually identified. So, it actually went and put that on paper to say that to move forward and be successful, especially on the verge of this investment, that we're going to address each and every single one of those issues. And it binds everybody together to actually work towards a solution. In the process of doing this, how important was it to have that dispassionate party kind of organize this? I believe KPMG was brought in as the facilitator for this activity. How did that help legitimize this process? Mike and Cash, I mean, whoever would like to go first.
Cash and I both early in our careers worked on a lot of bigger projects that had partnering, like a formal partnering process that always had a third party that came in, and it was somebody with no bias. And so KPMG being in that, they were asking questions that weren't pointed at one person or another, but kind of with an open mind. And when they would hear things, they'd have follow-up questions to make sure that they were digging down into the root of the matter. Cash, is that kind of what you were thinking as well?
Yeah, that's what I remember. They created a non-threatening environment, mm-hmm, for us to come in and have one-on-one interviews and have an honest conversation about what our biggest challenges and struggles were. And then when they delivered the results of all that, I felt like the comments that they put forth in their report were very straightforward and to the point. They did not hold back on what each party said. And it was pretty eye-opening seeing from the point of view of the other parties.
Now, when they brought back their findings, and I guess they also delivered some verbatims, you know, from different interviews that they did, I would imagine that was all anonymously presented, that they didn't identify anybody. Yeah, and that's critical for this, because you have if you're doing the interview, and you're answering these questions, you need to have that feeling of safety that I can be completely frank and honest, and I'm not going to have to worry about any retribution.
Yeah, and it worked out really well because they were really looking at trends. So it wasn't the outliers that they were identifying; they were looking at trends that they were hearing over and over again. And whether that was the contractors or NDOT or the consultants, they were looking for things, and they were also looking for common problems that could be fixed. And so that's what Cash was talking about, you know, the quick hitters that we could go through and the quick wins that we could accomplish and things that we knew were going to be a little bit of a further stretch in order to get it. So they broke it down into those three categories. And what was really cool about it was they formed a central committee. And then ultimately then in Indiana, we have six different districts around the region and around the state. And so what they did then is they broke up the six different districts and had areas, people who were working in those areas, and there were representatives from all three that were there. Mm-hmm. And then they would have a series of different just industry forum days where they'd bring people together. And ultimately what we worked out of it was we identified each of the different areas to go through and tackle some of the different obstacles that we've been looking at. So somebody looking at partnering, somebody going through and looking at how we're processing communication or change orders on projects. And so they would go through and look at both the quick hitters, but then also some of the ones that were a little bit more challenging to see if they could come up with solutions to introduce to everybody else.
And that's an interesting takeaway as well, because it's not just a product that allows you to identify weaknesses in a relationship, but it actually does provide a path forward, like you said, to kind of focus in and figure out how best to address those things. And make taking that regional approach makes sense, because you're able to actually focus it in instead of statewide and just take a look. Oh, well, here's the state picture. You can actually break it into each individual region where those challenges have to be surmounted.
Well, and in those individual regions, problems can be different.
Mm-hmm.
So problems that they experience in Northwest Indiana might be different than the problems they experience in Central Indiana. So we were able to work with consultants and contractors and the NDOT staff that are located in those regions to come together and work on specific problems.
Yeah.
So on the steering committee, there was two members from NDOT, two members from ACEC, two members from the contractor group. And they would meet on a regular basis to talk about these issues. One important point was everyone knew that in order to change the culture, it was going to have to be driven from the top down. So the steering committee members are created from some of the highest levels within the agencies and organizations. And then the intention of these regional meetings, which the one we held in La Porte had about 250 attendees, and it was to get the message out to staff at all levels that this was important and everyone needed to work together to improve the trust.
Having a product that actually does create a narrative and describes and identifies or actually discovers the problem and then puts some context behind it, and knowing that you went out to all the stakeholders to get all that information together, it helps create legitimacy and buy-in for leaders to actually take action, because everyone had their say. Everybody had an airing of what they feel, and they were able to speak in a frank way and actually, you know, describe what they were experiencing. I mean, in your experiences, I mean, this I would imagine this kind of a process had not happened to this point.
No. I mean, I think back in the days there were some holistic, like non-formed, where there were maybe people who kind of championed, you know, partnership, you know, between contractors and consultants in the agency. You know, some of the old timers that was, you know, get a cup mm-hmm. of coffee kind of thing. But
yeah.
This was definitely a new approach that was much more organized and succinct in how it was going about.
Are you viewing this as a one-off kind of deal, or are you looking at revisiting this after an amount of time to do another check-in and another assessment to see if you've actually moved the goalpost from that first, strategic, deep dive?
Well, I would say we're still really in the process of implementing it
mm-hmm.
due to the issues we had with the pandemic this past year.
Yeah.
Things really kind of slowed down. Now that we're beginning to get beyond that, there's kind of a renewed, refreshed sense of energy to really try to get this thing going again. So I would say we've still got work to do to get it fully implemented before we would be ready to kind of evaluate how it's working.
And as state executives, looking out at the country and each state has its own challenges, some more complex than others. But really, what would you say to your fellow, state executives to say, yeah, this is something that you should, even if you don't think or you have an issue, or that even if you might not have a strategic planning process, on the horizon, this is something that you might want to think about. I mean, really, what would you tell them to say, hey, this is something that would benefit you?
Well, I think one of the things that is the biggest takeaway for me is with the baby boomers kind of cycling out, one of the things that we really did identify with this is that as the younger, less experienced, both on the construction side, the clients with NDOT and the consultants are coming through, if we don't have an air of honesty where we're not worried about finger pointing and we're looking at ourselves as a whole, making each other better, mm-hmm. then we're gonna fail. And
yeah.
So for agencies around the United States, I would just say that this is one of the things that we were looking at as a tool to accelerate our younger engineers and contractors and client representatives to advance projects a little bit faster because we do have less resources.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest takeaways, just from the standpoint, I think Cash and I, we've known each other for a long time. We had some older engineers, whether within our company or elsewhere within NDOT over the years mm-hmm. that really did help mentor us as young engineers. And that's kind of one of the things that we're looking at on this.
Yeah.
And probably some other things, Cash. I mean, do you have any else that really stands out?
For me, yeah, we've got a hot economy. We've got a well-funded infrastructure program with our DOT. We're real fortunate in Indiana to have that. At the same time, we're no different than any other state. We're struggling to find enough people to get all the work mm-hmm. done, both on the construction side and the design side. So having a culture of wanting to work together to create win-win solutions at the lowest level possible is really important for us to be able to deliver the program to the taxpayers.
Yeah, that can be the differentiator. I mean, having that strong partnership and recognizing that you have mutual challenges and making sure that everyone's included and on board on finding resolutions to those challenges is something that definitely will help Indiana be successful and can most likely help other states as well who are in the same position without question. So this is a great example of how strategic planning and not just planning, but just the strategic kind of in-depth analysis can really benefit, an organization, especially, one that does work directly with a state agency that, there could be a disconnect and you don't even know it. And the only way you can find it is by actually taking the step to look deep and identify those problems. Cash, I guess, if there are any other execs out there who are like, this is a great idea, I really want to look into it. I mean, should they reach out to you? Is there anyone at ACEC Indiana that they should reach out to talk to?
Sure, they could reach out to me or Michael or our executive director, Beth Bauer.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, while I have you both, I do want to ask the question because it's out there and it's on the verge, waiting for the House to act. But you know what are your what are you feeling right now in terms of the infrastructure bill? Are you taking the opportunity now with the August recess to meet with members back in their home districts, or are you hearing anything positive on momentum related to the Indiana delegation? I mean, you know, how optimistic are you that we're going to get this done and pass the goal line?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm optimistic that we're going to get across the finish line. I think that we've been really proactive, you know, just sitting down, and whether it be our senators or congressmen and women, we've been talking to them a lot all the way through about the importance of infrastructure. Like a lot of the MOs, we go out there every year preaching it, and so we've been having a message of it. I'm not saying they always hear us, but everybody understands that, you know, you need clean drinking water, you need to be able to get to work, that there's things that are basic necessities, and this is one of them. I think that it's going to come across the finish line, and we're going to see it get approved.
Both
Michael and I were just in a meeting together right before this, and got some very encouraging news from a lobbyist that works out in D.C. that we could be hearing some very positive news from the House as soon as early next week. So we really came away from that meeting really energized and positive that this bill is going to move forward quickly.
That's the hope, and just for anyone out there, you know, keep the pressure on, because we need to keep that drumbeat going. This week has been the perfect example of what can happen. Everyone's talking infrastructure. Everybody was talking budget reconciliation. The unfortunate events going on right now in Afghanistan have just completely supplanted the news cycle, and everybody's focus is going to be on that, and rightly so. However, the actual legislative work that the House needs to do is infrastructure in the budget reconciliation process. And that's their primary responsibility right now. So we need to keep the pressure on, keep that front burner, and explain why it's so critical for the engineering sector for this bill to come through, because it means, you know, significant long-term investments in, I mean, you have a, you, the Secretary of Transportation is, you know, is a hometown boy, right? And he's going to have I think he's going to have the most historic level of discretionary grants to disperse. And he's not going to sit on those for very long. He's going to get them out there, and he's going to get the areas that need it. And we need to make sure those members get their credit.
Yeah. And hey, Jeff, I'm always amazed at this. Whenever we talk to our representatives, we're always amazed at how little they hear from their constituents about how important these issues are, regardless of what it is. Yeah. So, you know, I would encourage you, if you sent one email, or you've sent a letter, or you called once, make sure it's twice. You know, so it's amazing how little they do hear about some of these matters.
It's the good and the bad of infrastructure. When it's good infrastructure, you don't notice it. You only notice it when a pothole is there, or your drinking water isn't working correctly, and then you're like, oh, this is terrible. Why don't we do something about it? It takes those who are engaged in this work on a daily basis and make the designs that keep America running to make sure that we keep the pressure on. So, both Cash and Mike, I really do appreciate you taking the time today. I think this is a great example of a state accomplishment, because, you know, this is the kind of work that needs to be done to maintain those close relationships with public sector clients. The better the partnership, the better the end result. So thank you very much for taking time, both of you, today.
Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed the conversation.
And again, this has been Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies with our state showcase. And we look forward to bringing you another episode very, very soon. Until then, we'll see you next time.